Welcome to the Living Your Best Life podcast, where we delve into the meaning of living your best life and provide practical insights on how to achieve that. Join me, Sam Wild, life coach, mentor, and guide, committed to helping you reach your full potential and living your best life. As you prepare to listen, take a moment to center yourself, take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and clear your mind. Let's begin.
So we've been going through, so with Lenny, my latest son, my second son, I'm calling him Lenny, my second son being born, that has completed the just over 8 years of IVF journey that we've been on. So about 8.5, I want to say 8.5, it's about that, about 8.5 years ago, we'd been diagnosed as a couple that, you know, likely we were told we weren't going to have our own children. And it's funny because I was brought up, I don't know why this, I hadn't remembered this, but my dad always had this running thing, because I have quite a big family. There's always this running thing that the boys in the Wild family are very, very fertile and virile, right? It's like, you just have to look at your wife and they get pregnant, this kind of thing. There's always these running jokes in my family about that. And as far as I can see, it was true. You know, my brother was the same. They I remember they were on honeymoon and they came back pregnant. And he said, well, we could only have had sex once because I hurt my back surfing the next day and I was in hospital for the 2 weeks. So basically it was one and done. It's just, I remember finding that funny. So I was like, oh, honeymoon, you got pregnant. He's like, yeah, but I was in hospital. So it was just the once. And so I kind of grew up with this idea that it's kind of a given and that it's going to be kind of easy for us. When I was 21 years old, I got the mumps. I went traveling to Peru and I got the mumps and it was bad. Like, I can see why people were vaccinated against it. And I was vaccinated against it, but the vaccination just didn't work for whatever reason, which is, it's part of, it's a side effect of vaccines. They don't always work. And I didn't know at the time when I was 21 years old, and it could have killed me. I was very, very sick, very, very sick. And I lost almost all my body weight. I was very ill. And I didn't know at the time, what I did know at the time, I was very aware at the time that it affected all of me. And it's very rare, apparently. When I spoke to my GP, she said to me, Sam, it's very rare for the male reproductive system to be affected by mumps. And if it is, it's normally only partially, not fully. So I kind of took that and I was like, okay, great. That's good news. That's good news. Thank you for sharing. And so I just kind of, after that, I recovered and I got on with my life. And it wasn't until me and my wife were trying for children, it must have been once we got married, it was about early 30s, 30, 31 years old, that it was just taking time. And this kind of whole one and done thing started to seem a bit off, right? It started to see, like, this isn't quite right. So our assumption was, it could be my wife, and it could be me, but it's, you know, we need to go and get this checked out. So we went and got it checked out. And the results came back that I personally had a zero count. And I remember that looking back, it's kind of, it just feels a bit off really, but I remember the GP handing me, she said, Sam, I'm sorry. And she handed me leaflets on adoption and what's the other word I'm looking for? It's completely gone out of my mind. Fostering. So she handed me leaflets on adoption and fostering. The conversation around any treatment wasn't even in the conversation. So after a time, me and my wife decided to just go and get some more advice. And we went to see the fertility clinic. I went and spoke to the urologist. And what he had said to us was, yeah, the chances are, I can't give you a 0% because there is a chance, but he said there's less than 5% chance that you guys are going to have your own, that we're going to find sperm, let alone that you're going to have your own children. And I remember that point, one of my limiting beliefs was always, I'm not good enough. And being told that you can't have children as a man, and then the guilt that I was feeling that I'd let my wife down, that I hadn't got a test before that we got married. And it just hit me. And I remember sitting in my parents-in-law's house telling them about it too. And it just, it really did challenge this idea that I'm not good enough. And it made it, it amplified it. Imagine turning up the volume, putting your ear against a speaker and it's quiet, turning up the volume so loud, it almost deafens you. That's how it felt. It was so intense. And it sent me on this really quick and dark downward spiral of depression and anxiety. And I would wake up every day. I remember this so acutely. I'd wake up every day feeling like someone was coming at me with a knife. Like it felt, this went on for a few years. Like it was so dark. And I got down and it gave me gut issues. And I was running a business at the time. Because I was made redundant shortly before that, I'd started a personal training business. And it sent me on this downward spiral, but I had to keep going because I'd been made redundant. I needed to make money to pay the bills. So I just had to keep going. And there were days, and I remember, without being too graphic with you guys, if any of you have had anxiety before, it really plays havoc with your gut. And so I'd often find myself like 5-6 o'clock in the morning before a client looking for a public toilet. And if not, a bush, like it was that bad. And yet I had to keep going, because if I hadn't, then I wouldn't have been able to make the money that I needed to make. And around that time, we decided for me to get some surgery to see if they could find anything that we could use for IVF. Anyway, the thing I really wanted to share about this was, just before I go on to the rest of the story, was the anxiety and the depression. And you can relate this, and I want to just invite you to relate this to any feeling that we have, right? Not to downplay the anxiety and the depression, but you can apply what I'm about to share with you with any feeling, with any bodily experience, with any personal experience. It all changed for me. I had therapy. What really changed for me was when I had a coach, and this specific coach helped me to really understand and reflect and slow down on my personal experience. And I've shared this before in a previous conversation about the human experience, the primary experience and the secondary experience, and how the primary experience for me was one of anxiety and depression. The secondary experience, which is where the pain really existed for me, the secondary experience were the judgments I had about it, the judgments and the thoughts I had about being anxious. I shouldn't be anxious. I shouldn't be down. You're not good enough. You need to get out of this. This needs to change. There's something wrong with you. You need fixing. You're broken. You know, all of these thoughts, all of these judgments were going around in my mind. And that was what I was experiencing. The anxiety in itself as a pure experience, I could just slow down and experience with. I could just experience that. But the judgments about it was what caused me so much pain. Having anxiety and doing everything I could to get out of it, to escape it, was like being in a prison that you can't escape. And I'd created that for myself. And I hadn't seen that until I'd been coached around it. And I got a chance to really look in and see, oh, these are the thoughts. These are the thoughts that I'm creating. These are the activities that I'm doing. This is what I'm doing to create this pain. It didn't take away the anxiety, but it lessened it by a long way. But also it gave me a sense of control back in understanding the anxiety wasn't the problem. It was how I was relating to the anxiety. It was the judgments I had about myself being anxious. So when I brought some forgiveness, some conscientiousness, some compassion to myself about the experience that I was having of anxiety and depression, it lifted so much. There was so much more lightness. And so much more calm and peace, because I really started to see, oh, I'm not broken. There's nothing wrong with me. And just like any experience that you have, whether, you know, you're trying to lose weight, right? And you quote unquote, or whatever you call these air quotes, fall off the wagon. The worst thing that's going to happen to you isn't that you've fallen off the wagon. It's how you treat yourself, how you speak to yourself, and the thoughts you have and judgments you have about falling off the wagon. falling off the wagon is a perfectly normal experience when you're looking to create what you want to create. But how you treat yourself in that moment, in that experience, is what's going to make the difference. So what I want to share is very simply this. I learned, and I was willing to learn to love my humanness. To love the mistakes that I make. To love the feelings and the thoughts and the judgments I have about myself. To love myself as anxiousness. To love my anxiety. Not to like it, that's different. But to learn to love my humanness and all of the things that I would judge about myself. So instead of a judgment and a story being a negative thing, a judgment and a story became a really positive thing, because when I introduced forgiveness, love and compassion to the judgments I had about myself, it took my attention away from what being broken and things that were wrong to simply letting go of the things that hurt. And it was a game changer. And essentially, that's why I started as a coach. That's why I'm doing what I do now. That's what I do with people, to create that freedom inside of someone, to create that peace inside of me, inside of someone, which creates the bandwidth, which creates the space to have massive impact on what you want in your life, to achieve your goals, to work through the things that hold you back, to create the dream life. It's that inner experience, the secondary inner experience of life that we have about ourselves, where we have the most power, the most control. And I've written here, like, the real pain for me came from the belief that I shouldn't be or didn't want to be anxious. That created friction. So the anxiety in itself is just here. And what I was doing was rubbing up against it. Like, I shouldn't be anxious. I don't want to be anxious. This is bad. You're wrong. You're sick. You're crazy. Like, all these things. You're going to die. Like, that's really what I felt like a lot of the time. When I learned a way of relinquishing that freedom, absolute freedom. So this, the second piece of this, and so, well, just to move on a bit with the story, I had surgery, and I don't want to go into too many details because it's not pleasant. So I've had this surgery twice. The first time, it involves testicles and needles, and fortunately sedation. So I was out of the count. And they found, I think it was either 12 or 13 sperm. Now, normally a man has millions, I think like 200 million or something. They found 12 or 13. Very immature, not moving. And it was like, right, well, we found some, great. And we went through a process called ICSI. And ICSI is a form of IVF. And some of you definitely know this because I've seen you posted it. But essentially what they do is they do a surgery on me, an operation on me, and the same with my wife. They take the egg from my wife and they take the sperm from me, and they put them together and they see if they fertilize. So with the first time we went through this, we had two eggs left, two fertilized eggs left. I won't go into too many details, it's a long story, but essentially you put them together, you wait 5 days, and they update you, kind of like, well, for us, it was like they updated us a few times a day over those 5 days to tell us how the eggs were getting on. To start with, we had five, and by the Monday morning, which is when we had the egg transplanted, there was two left. One of them was Albert now, who was actually hatching, which is very rare. He's the one that we put back in Sarah, and they reunited him with his mum. And his twin, we froze. And unfortunately, we used the twin a year or so after. We tried to create a baby from the twin about a year after Albert, and unfortunately, it didn't work. But Albert took, and he was born. And so we had our first boy, and it was just, I don't think I've ever experienced something so intense, where I remember laying on my bed, on our bed, and my wife came in. She took a pregnancy test days early, and she came in, she said, I think I'm pregnant. It was like, oh my god, no way. From being told, like, you know, you weren't going to have kids, to finding 13 sperm, to then having a pregnancy. It was just unreal. And then you have to wait like 2 weeks to have the early scan to, I think it's even more, it's about 4 weeks. You wait 4 weeks to have an early scan to see if there's a heartbeat, because sometimes it can be an ectopic pregnancy, which means it's not real, a real pregnancy, it's your body thinks it is. And we went for that scan, she turned it around and there was a heartbeat. And so from then on, that was when Albert was born. And this was all while I was growing my business. And it was really intense. And the thing I wanted to slow down with and share with you guys was like, what is it that's kept me, like kept me going, kept me on track? What is it that took me from starting, not even believing I could start my own business, to running a very successful life coaching, midlife mastery company? Like, what is it that's created that? And it's been immensely difficult, but also immensely easy in some ways. So like, what is it that's had me continue and not give up? One of the things that occurred to me as I was thinking about this was I never gave myself the luxury of giving myself an out or making an easier route. Like, I never gave myself that option. It was never a, oh, I'll just do this instead, or I'm not going to do this. I never gave myself that option. I didn't want to give myself that option. It was, this is occurring and this is happening. And don't get me wrong, there have been some total failures. There's been times where I haven't made any money for months. And there's been times where I've made more money in a month than I've made in 2 years as a personal trainer. It's been incredible. There's been ups and downs, lefts, rights, diagonals. I mean, it's been messy, really messy. The thing that's kept me going is knowing that that's part of a journey. The biggest reason why people don't achieve what they want to achieve is because they get stuck in the judgments of themselves when things don't go the way they think they should, or it's not going as fast as they think it should go. Drop that shit. It's not going to help you. It is not going to serve you. Or make an exception. The only time it's going to serve you is just to check in with, am I doing what's required to get to where I want to get? Other than that, just drop it. It's not going to serve you. And the thing that's really kept me on track is acknowledging that no matter what's occurring, acknowledging myself for being in the game, acknowledging myself constantly for the small things, for the small actions. It's like, oh, I haven't done 3 workouts this week. It's like, dude, you did 2 awesome workouts this week. Wicked. 2 awesome workouts this week. And look at all the things you did in those workouts. So instead of it being, oh, I haven't done 3, it's, yes, I nailed it and I did 2. That is a game changer. When you're able and willing to acknowledge the things that you've done instead of giving yourself shit for the things you haven't done, that's going to make a massive difference. Of course, it's important to recognize that you haven't done that 3rd workout, but it's not the thing that's going to, it's not like punishing yourself and giving and creating fear isn't going to get you where you want to get. It isn't. And it's not going to make you happy either. So drop that. Just drop it. It's not going to make you happy. So acknowledge yourself for what you have done. And that's what I did constantly. It's like constantly acknowledging myself. It's like, wow, I've created this. I've done that. I've asked a client to work with me for 30 grand and they've said yes, or they've said no. And it's like, who gives a shit? Because I did it. Like, I'm making things up, but it's like that, acknowledging yourself for that is what's going to keep you on track. It's what's going to keep you on target. The last piece to this, before I wrap up the story and share with you how Lenny arrived, was I hadn't really recognized this is what it was until I spoke with my coach about this and he invited me to do it. He said something like, Sam, what would a quantum leap in your business look like? What would a quantum leap in your life look like? I've talked about this before in previous conversations, but I'm going to offer it to you guys listening. So I, what would a quantum leap look like? So I had an idea in my business of where I wanted it to go and what I needed it to look like, right? So at the start, I was earning just enough to cover my side of the bills. But what I really wanted was to be able to employ my wife so she has the freedom to do whatever the hell she wants and I can pay her a decent salary. I can have a salary and we can live a life that's really comfortable. We don't have to worry too much about money, and we can set ourselves up and our any children that we have up for life. And that's what I've created, and it's certainly what I'm creating, and it's, there's no limit to that. Like, we're going to continue going. But along the way, there have been some times where I've made very small, so quantum leaps, like massive leaps, right? So like I shared with you, there was, I remember the first time where, I'm sorry, I'm going to get really anti-British here and just talk about money. So we're just going to have to just drop any Britishness we have about money and just talk about it. But I remember at the very beginning, like earning kind of like $2,000 or $3,000 a month, which was always my goal. And there were times a year or two down the line where I'd be like $30,000 a month. And it's like, oh, I mean, that for me was, I had to really pinch myself, be like, I've created this. It was just immense. But the thing that led to that was quantum leaps in my business. And the cool thing about quantum leaps in business, and not just business, but quantum leaps in your health, quantum leaps in your relationships, quantum leaps in peace inside of yourself, involves quantum actions. And a quantum action is not a big action. It's tiny. It's tiny. So for me, instead of saying, hey, to work with me, it's 1500 quid. I would say something to work with me in this and create this with you. It's 10 grand. So the actual thing that I had to do was to speak that different fee. And then people were like, well, I want what we're going to work on so much. It's hell yeah. I'm going to do everything I can to make this possible. And people started getting incredible results, right? So it was a very small action, which sounds like a massive one, but it wasn't. It was just me changing the words that I was speaking from 1500 to 10K. And all of a sudden, the difference that made in my business and my life was massive, mega. And my clients got even better results, which is, I mean, obviously that was going to happen, but I didn't see it at the time. And so I want to invite you to consider, like, what would a quantum leap in your goal look like? Let's say it's losing weight, right? What would a quantum leap look like? Well, a quantum leap would be like 3 or 4 stone. Cool. What are the quantum actions that are involved in that? So what is one quantum action? A small action. And an example might be, do you know what? I walk regularly, but actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a HIIT session every single week, or I'm going to do 2 or 3 HIIT sessions every single week. Or another one, and this is a real life one that I did with a client. She said to me, she was like, I am going to prioritize my exercise over anything. Even if one of my kids says to me, Mummy, I haven't done my homework, can you help me? She's like, nope, absolutely not. Not until I've done my exercise. And what that did for her, that very small action, what that did for her was mean the things that stopped her exercising didn't stop her exercise anymore. She was free. She did it. She nailed it. So think about, what is the quantum result that you want to see? What would a massive result be? And what is the tiny action that's going to lead to that? So the last minute that I'm going to share with you on this before I go is, me and my wife decided, just to close off the story so you guys know how Lenny was born. So me and my wife decided, because business was going really well, we would pay ourselves to go through IVF another time, or ICSI another time. Slightly more money with ICSI because I have to pay for my surgery as well. And we did, and they found more sperm this time. It was a bit more uncomfortable the second time round because the surgeon was more determined, I think, without going too much detail. He was just more determined, I think. But they found more sperm and they did the same process, and Lenny was conceived the first time around. And I couldn't believe it because we were told we were never going to have kids, basically. And now we have 2 boys who are beautiful and healthy and well. And I have a business that is supporting us deeply and profoundly on every level. And I am in that position to be able to do that. And the reason I've been able to create that isn't because there's anything special about me. There's nothing I am capable of more than anybody else. If anything, it's the way I see it, it's the opposite to that. But these 2 things that I've shared with you around how we judge ourselves and treat ourselves and our humanness, and how we acknowledge ourselves and the quantum actions, staying on the path, those are the things that's got me and us to where we wanted to get. And I really want you guys to listen to this, not as a cool story or only a cool story, because it is a really cool story, I think. I feel really lucky and privileged to be at the, you know, really at the arrowhead of this story. I feel so privileged and happy that I can share it. I want you to consider what I've shared with you and reflect on it for you and for your life, and to see what you can take from it to apply to yourself, just like I do with my clients. And it works every single time.
Thank you for joining me on the Living Your Best Life podcast. I hope this episode has inspired you to take action towards your goals and your dreams. To learn more about how I can support you on your journey, please visit my website at www.samwildcoaching.com, and that's wild with an E. To connect with me directly, you can get in touch with me at coachme@samwildcoaching.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll see you in the next one.